I got shooters touch. Can't nobody ball like me.
I was getting a lot of no letters. And I kept some of the letters because it was like motivation for me.
I was young in my coaching career. I did know that those guys I was coaching, this was their one opportunity.
If you really want the players to like you, just make them better.
If I want to keep playing this game, you know, as a job, I have to continue to get better at that.
You have to figure out a way to carve out some value that you have that you can bring not only to your team but also your profession.
It's really good information, and I pick up little nuggets all the time.
For me, it's all about confidence, man. You have to have confidence to be a shooter, to be a basketball player in general, to have success. It's all about confidence. If they walk a mile in my shoes, then they can ball like I do. But my game different, not the
same with it. I travel now, y'all just change pivots. Shooters, welcome into another episode of the Shooters Touch Podcast. We got a special one. We got a fun one. I brought on a few of the fellas, some of my guys from Warburg. We're going to get into talking stories about the days of old Waverly and Warburg College, coming on the heels of the announcement of legendary coach Dick Pate stepping down after 27 years at the helm up there in Waverly. And so we decided to get a few of the guys. We stretch over a decent amount of span here covering what we'll continually refer to as the glory years of Warburg basketball. But many of us overlapped, and so there'll be some fun stories that we'll share, and we'll go through each of them and obviously share some insight and some accolades and things that we remember about Coach Pate. I think it goes without saying that while Coach won 401 games his time at Warburg, the biggest win was creating the brotherhood that we have with each other and our friends that we still continue to connect with. I think that, without saying, that allows us to do this podcast and what's going to have us have a good time tonight. So that's definitely number one in the book, and we appreciate that. So with that, I want to jump in. I want to introduce bottom right corner with me tonight, Lee Nelson. Mr. Nelson,
how's it going tonight? Great. Let's do this thing.
Welcome to the podcast. In my other corner, I have Kip Peterson. Kip, coming to us from North Liberty. How's it going your way?
It's going great. Thanks for having me on.
Excited to have you. And then in the top corner up here, Jordan Atchison, all the way from Minneapolis. Well, Burnsville, right? Or now you're in, where are you at now technically?
Eden Prairie.
One of those suburbs.
So. Minneapolis proper, let's put it that way.
There you go. Love it. How's it going your way, Jordan? I know you're kind of a low-key UConn Husky fan, so you got one eye on the game tonight.
Yes. Want them to win, but I'm focused on the pod here.
Focused on the pod, focused on reminiscing a little bit, talking about Warburg College. And so in order here then as we go, Kip would be the first one to get on campus, followed by Jordan and myself, right? We came in at the same time. And go then free. Lee came in behind us is going to be kind of the order. So we're spanning through this. So Kip, I'm going to start with you because you're the first one. I know you did 1 year at DMAC before coming up to be a Warburg Knight. Why Warburg? What about Coach Pate? What about the program that decided that, hey, you know what, I'm going to go up and play a little basketball in Waverly?
For me, it started back in high school just because Coach would come down and kind of recruit me and build that relationship. So, you know, after playing JUCO ball for a year, I quickly found out that that just wasn't my style of play, and I was ready to make my next move. And there was only one school I really called. I called Coach Pate right away, and he came down and had lunch with me there at Boone. And it was a pretty easy decision for me because that's just, that trust and relationship that we had built over the last 2 years. So it was an easy choice for me and my family.
That's awesome. Jordan, you went to Kirkwood initially and played some basketball there, and then was looking for a couple more years to get an opportunity to continue your career. And so Waverly kid, didn't mention that in the intro. So Waverly native, what was it about coming home? What was it about joining the Warburg program that got you excited?
Yeah. So if you back up my high school career, I wasn't a very good basketball player. Didn't really get recruited anywhere, but I knew of Coach Pate because they had good teams, building up to before I went to Kirkwood. And so I would watch those teams, and I would go and play around in there when it was the rec when I was in high school. Ended up fortunate enough to make the Kirkwood team on a tryout. And then after 2 years, my second year, they started recruiting me. Coach Paith and Coach Franzen. And, you know, for me, it was an easy decision to go back to my hometown. My parents were still there, still had some friends that went to Wartburg. And so it was a easy transition. And what pushed me over the top was the consecutive 20-win seasons. Coming from Kirkwood, you know, we had had a lot of success, and I wanted to continue to be on teams that had a winning tradition, and, you know, however I could contribute, that's what I wanted to do. And that's what I told Coach Pace at that time. So he made it pretty easy for me to make that decision.
So to both of you guys coming in, obviously having an opportunity to play somewhere initially, you guys are coming in now not as freshmen. So how did the role play an impact on coming to Wartburg? Did you kind of know that you were going to fill a gap, or did you know that you're going to have to compete for a spot, or what do you remember a little bit about that transition?
Yeah, I mean, for me, I was ready to roll from the start. I didn't really know who I was going to have to compete against. I knew that, you know, the one that I knew for sure was Jake Olson, because he was playing the five, and then he was also playing football, so I knew that there'd be an opportunity for me to get some early playing time there. The one thing that stood out to me when I was thinking about what I was going to say tonight was, what I knew it was different right away at Wartburg was, first semester at Wartburg, I don't remember what the class was, but I skipped my first class at Wartburg and I went to workouts that night. And when I was walking in the gym, Coach Paith was sitting there at the door waiting for me. And he asked me, he's like, why'd you skip class today? And I was so dumbfounded, because I'm like, how did he already know that I had missed class, or I had purposely skipped class? And then I just remember him looking at me and be like, that's the last class that you're ever going to skip here at Wartburg. And it sure enough, I never skipped another class in my entire time at Wartburg in the next 3 years. So I knew right from the jump that this was going to be a different experience, but an experience that I was, you know, ready for and looking forward to. So
just the way I had to get into basketball after high school, I thought it was always a competition. I'd have to figure out how to fight for playing time. So for me, I was drawn to the winning and an opportunity potentially play in my hometown. So I knew that Wartburg was good. I knew that they had good guards, obviously, but I also knew that they had some really good players that were leaving at that end of that, you know, that 2002-03 season. I think like Mike Pipo and Dan Shuknick and some really, really good players that, you know, there was potential to slide in there with some playing time if I played well enough. So that was, you know, I knew that was the case, but I, you know, I also, the 20 wins seasons meant more than that.
That's neat. And then Lee, so coming out of high school, coming in as a freshman, what do you remember a little bit about recruitment, Coach Paith coming to high school games, and then ultimately you deciding that Wartburg was going to be the place for you?
So I was a Snow Valley kid, so I got to know the campus pretty well, you know, going to that camp, and obviously got to know Coach Paith a little bit more early on than, you know, a lot of times Division III. I mean, not that you don't have some sort of relationship ahead of time, but really when you're a senior is when you start to have those conversations with coaches. So I had a little bit of a jump start on that. And I think Wartburg just has that feel to it when you get on campus. Like, you know, if you're meant to be there, and I'm sure it's like that with every place, but Wartburg's just different. My senior year, I came to a football game, and actually Kip was my my host. Kip, I think you lived like in the Manors maybe, yeah, when you were a senior.
Yeah.
And I remember on this trip, we went into your room and you guys are just crushing beers. And I was like, this place is sweet. Like, and it was a night football game. You know, that first football game at Wartburg is always at night. It's an awesome environment. You know, for like a Division III recruit, generally you come and like go to scholarship day or come play. Like, we got to do this night football game, which was great. And I was actually thinking about playing football at the time too. So that was just kind of twofold for me. But, you know, the Snow Valley thing and getting to play with the guys when they would play at night, that was really kind of the start. And Coach Paith was just a cool dude on the phone. And this was like pre-cell phones. You didn't talk all the time. So when a coach called, you talked for a long time. And I remember just being on the phone with him, you know, a former Iowa basketball player. He'd always want to talk Iowa basketball, which was cool. That was an interest of mine. He just seemed like a good dude. And when it came down to make the decision, I thought it was pretty easy.
Did the culture and success of the basketball program play a role in your decision as well?
Honestly, I don't even remember any part except hanging out with the guys. Like, I got to know, obviously, Kip on this recruiting visit, or those other guys when they're playing, you know, during Snow Valley. Like, I honestly don't remember a lot about basketball. I remember coming to the Upper Iowa game at home, Kip's senior year, and Gomez had that dunk, and the place went nuts. And, you know, the environment of Wartburg basketball back then, the crowds were insane. The student sections were insane. You watch games now and there's like 8 people on their phones. And back then, I mean, it was like full tilt. Like, how much partying can you do before you get into a Wartburg game? And our student sections were awesome. And it was awesome that night too. It was a Saturday night. And that was back when Saturday night games were at night still, not just the, like the 2 o'clock, 4 o'clock that they do now. It just has a different feel. And in an old Knights gym, it's pretty hard to walk in there when it was rocking and say, I don't want to be a part of this.
Yeah, this is a good time to talk about it, is that Knights gymnasium. We'll get into maybe some more of the records and stuff, but like, talk about a tough place to show up and try to get some wins. I mean, it was something. I remember going all the way back my first visit. I can't remember who they were playing, but I just remember Staggy getting in the game and being like, look at this little redhead out here. Like, you know, and he was so, I mean, Staggy, so that would have been his freshman year. Staggy as a freshman, Staggy lived his life undersized. As a freshman, he was way undersized. And just watching him kind of do his thing, and, you know, Chad's out there as well. And so it was something. That place, like you said, it was a Saturday game too, and it was just rocking. And it didn't slow down. Like, until they tore that place down, that thing was always going. And just a lot of fun, loud in there. You get the soft rim in the second half, all the good stuff. And so Kip, what do you remember about Knights Gymnasium? What was your maybe your fondest memory of playing in the Snake Pit?
Probably the one that jumps out at me the most is the first time we played Luther. My first home Luther game. Because everybody leading up to that game was like, if your parents aren't here by the start of the women's game, which was before our games, they're not getting a seat. And sure enough, like, when I just remember walking out of the locker room and up the stairs, and it literally felt like the ceiling of our locker room was shaking because it was so loud. And when you got to the floor, it was just pandemonium. Like, it was just, you can't even hardly put it into words just how exciting it was and the environment that it was. So, and we pretty consistently beat Luther too. So that was always the best part.
That's always a good thing. Jordan, did you go to games when you were in high school, or what were your kind of first memories of Knights Gymnasium?
Yeah, I remember distinctly watching guys like Pat Morrison play, and then I'd play with them in the summers. So I remember like him and Troy Osterhaus played with them, a couple other guys that, you know, that were obviously older that played. But yeah, I went to some games then. I think for some reason, Kip, I was at the game when, I can't remember what team it was, but Jake beat him on a buzzer beater reverse layup.
Yeah.
I was there watching. Oh, that was cool. Yeah, I remember playing. But I watching those guys, and I played open gyms with them too.
So, but what was your favorite memory then from either playing days or?
You know, Kip already said it, but my first year, Kip, you were still there, but we played Luther on a Saturday night. It was a Friday night at home, and it was crazy. And then a bunch of kids got kicked out. And then like the following year, we had to play it like Saturday at 4 p.m. Or like they stuck one of them at like a Wednesday night because there were so many issues. So between my first and second year, they kind of ruined the Wartburg Luther, you know, basketball night game rivalry type thing. The other one would had to be when we beat BV at home during the regular season, my second year. And Lee, you were there for that, but that was packed and it was really loud. It was fun because we had finally beaten them. Those are my two.
It's interesting because obviously the Wartburg Luther, I feel like, pretty well known, that rivalry and where it's at. But, you know, during the stretch when all of us were on campus, it wasn't much of a rivalry because Luther wasn't as good. And so then those rivalries became BV, Loris,
Co.
I mean, those were kind of the three. And so it's like any of those games were something that like you remembered. Like that pitcher that of Knights Gymnasium with Rance, that was against Co, right? Was that one of the Co home games? Awesome pitcher. I mean, that's a cool one that they still use. But that place and any of those three matchups, I mean, like you guys said, I mean, Luther was still a must see. I mean, it was something that there was something was going to happen, and it was worth going and checking it out. Lee, what about you? I know you finished your career in Levick Arena, but what do you have from a Knights Gymnasium memory?
Yo, as a freshman, I really had no expectations. And a lot of that season is a blur to me. And I know we were really good. A team that definitely should have been in the NCAA tournament, you know, 23-5, and we get left out. But I just remember just being part of that team, but not really ever expecting much. You know, like I started to play a little bit more at the end of the year, you know, especially like against the BV that had bigger wings. But like that was really just my role, was like 5 or 10 minutes. I just kind of soaked in everything, but I didn't really ever expect much out of it. But then my sophomore year, you bring up the shot that Rance hits to beat Co in that place. I mean, they could have burned it down after that game, and that would have been good enough. Like that was an unbelievable atmosphere. And it's hard to describe it, like Kip said, because unless you go back and watch those games and you watch them pan that student section, that was the entire bottom section of Knights Gym, and just how many people there were and the energy they brought, it was just, it's just different. Like it, as awesome as Levick Arena was and still is, I mean, it is, it's an unbelievable place to play basketball. It doesn't have the feel that Knights Gym had.
In an ideal world, you keep Knights Gymnasium and you update the facilities, because let's be honest, sharing a locker room with the wrestlers and going in a little classroom at halftime, I mean, all those types of things, there's things that like, I don't know. I mean, there's elements of it that add to the character and charm of Knights Gymnasium, but like we can do some updating to facilities and keep Knights Gymnasium would have been awesome. Obviously I get it that just is more of a headache than it would have been, but there was something special about that. I still remember looking up, they had like those numbers in the sections, and one was dangling, just hanging on by just one string, because our guy J-Bone got a little upset, and I think probably someone tried to tip it out from behind and punted a ball up into the rafters and hit that sign. Do you remember that, J-Bone?
I did that a lot. I don't remember that specific one. Funny Coach Pace story, though. I think my first year there, we were playing pickup in the field house, and, you know, he'll randomly walk down there. So I think, like, it was like Joel or something scored to like win the game, so we had to sit out, and I punted that ball like straight up into the roof or what, ceiling, whatever you call it. And Coach Pate just shaking his head at me, tells me to come over. Yeah, let's not do that again. Probably similar to the conversation about Kip skipping class, but don't punt the basketball. And then I'm not going to say I never did it again, but I watched to see if he was around before I did it again.
All right. Well, I'm going to interject here, because Jordan, you didn't punt this one, but
I hit that girl.
You hit the track. You hit the track runner in the leg and dropped her when she was running. Yeah, you threw ball. It was outfly that day. We played pickup at the end of the day, and you chucked the ball after you got beat, and it hit that girl's feet and dropped her.
Shanked the punt, or was it a throw?
It was a throw.
Man, pick up those were legend right there, especially with J-Bone. Except for when we had to play half court. I grinding out half court pickup was
interesting.
Maybe for another time, but that's for sure. So going back, Lee, you mentioned it. Obviously, Kip, Jordan, Kip, did you guys have a host? Do you remember who your host was and what that experience was like? I know as transfers, maybe a little bit different, but do you remember who kind of showed you around or what that was like for you?
I think I had Peepo. But I was just there. I think I just went there and spent the day. I didn't spend the night or anything like with those guys. Coach Pace usually didn't give me a lot of recruits when they came on site. I think I got Lee and I got Steggy. So I was 2 for 2 on landing some pretty good basketball players for Coach Pace. So I might have to ask him to explain himself a little bit about that. So
yeah, geez, that's a good list. What, Jordan, what do you remember about yours?
I remember mostly being with Chez when I was there because I knew him from Snow Valley. And then that's when Lee came to Snow Valley the year before he came to on campus, he stayed on our floor at 1308. So that's how I got to know Lee before we actually started practice and everything. So Snow Valley was probably another reason why I came, because I knew I already knew Adam Sanchez, because our coaches at Kirkwood would work Snow Valley too, and I would come back home and work all 3 weeks. There's definitely a Snow Valley connection, but I didn't really have a host per se though, because I never really came for an official visit. They were just recruiting me at Kirkwood. But I did come to the end of a game after I had gotten kicked out of a game at Ellsworth, and I had to tell Coach Paith about that. He's like, "How'd you play tonight?" And I was like, "Well, I got kicked out of the game." And he was like, "What?" And I was like, "Yeah, apparently you can't leave the bench when Derek Weber starts a fight." So I got the boot, guilty by association. But so that was a funny story when I had to tell Coach Paith that one. But
I was going to say, it takes something to get kicked out of a JUCO game, that's for sure. So good by you. I was going to say, Jordan, I remember when I met you would have been team camp. We were working team camp on campus. That was always a good time, always a fun introduction. Long days, but usually some fun nights that usually consisted of a little Joe's Nighthawk too at some point. And so I remember going up there. We were, before we got on the pod, talking about Nick Gullickson too. He would have been coming in with me in that class too. Kip, I think that would have been you. That would have been a hard introduction to college life that night with old Nick Gullickson. You remember that?
Oh yeah, we took Nick under our wings pretty quick. He came on campus. We had to show him the way, the Wartburg way, if you will.
Well, if I remember correctly, it went. So obviously Kip here, you know, senior big man on campus, and Gullickson was saying, "I'd go beer for beer with that guy." And yeah, did not end well for our buddy Nick. So I wonder what I don't remember, but that next day at camp had to be brutal for him. But that was always a fun interaction, because like you said, you got to meet some of those guys. Jordan, like I said, that was the night that, you know, I had met you for the first time, and it's a neat experience to be able to have people on campus and an opportunity to kind of introduce, like you said, it's amazing how big of a difference those camps, Snow Valley, the team camps, like just getting people on campus, you know, getting them to fall in love with the program, the facilities, the campus, the guys, just makes a huge difference. I think on my business, I think my visit, Shooknick was the one that showed me around. So, I mean, between Shooknick and Peepo, I mean, great dudes, awesome dudes, but if I'm gonna go with those two or Kip around campus, I mean, shit, give me Kip all day. I can see why you got Lee and Staggy on board. And then Lee, you were with Kip in your experience too, coming around. Anybody else? Like, who else do you remember kind of before you really got there and met everybody? What do you remember about it?
Yeah, so I remember, Chez, I remember the time that Jordan was talking about, not the last time I slept on the floor at 1308, I can tell you that. I remember I wasn't that close with Jason at that time. I would say, like, Chez was the person I knew the most. But as far as hosting recruits, I hosted all the recruits. And it, like, gets to be a little bit old. Like, it was cool, like, Coach Paith or Coach Drake, here's $50, you know, like, go take this guy out to eat, make sure he has a place to stay tonight, make sure he has a good time. And it was all the time. Like, it just, if it was an overnight, I probably had to host the recruit.
I remember the Alan Weaver host that you had. You hosted him, right? Because you were in, what was the name of that dorm?
The Rez.
You were in the Rez on that one.
I was.
You're an interesting selection, given a little bit of your status with the coaching staff. Why did they keep picking Lee Nelson to host these guys? Well, was there nobody else?
Part of my status with the coaches might have been that I did have a good time a lot of times. And I think one thing you want to show a recruit when they come on campus, obviously the basketball part's important and the academic part and campus and whatever, but it is to have a good time. And you did have to adjust to what is that kid like. You know, do they want to go to Joe's Nighthawk? If they don't, I mean, you got to find other things to do. I think we all remember the Cassius Mason recruiting visit that, you know, he still came to Wartburg. You know, maybe a tougher night for the circumstances. We'll say that.
I do remember that. Yeah, were you his host? Were you Cassius' host? Oh, okay. Because I remember
eating lunch with him.
And I remember Staggy bringing him. I think Staggy brought him over to Leia too. Probably got some Tiger Woods in or something too.
Well, Tiger Woods was in my room. That's when everything went down.
Okay.
So, yeah, I think that's part of it. Is I think just being able to hang out with different people and again adjusting to what they think is a good time, and I think you have to have the right type of person that's going to be able to hang out with people and be able to have conversations and that they feel welcome and at home when they come there. That's really the point of hosting a recruit.
Well, and I think too, that's a big part of why Chaz feels like an entry point for a lot of us too. I mean, that's Chaz in a nutshell, you know, I mean, his ability to just adapt and evolve to whatever he needs to be for that night, Chaz can do it. And so, I mean, that was, you know, he was an early access point for me as well. You know, obviously Nate and Joel as well, as they lived across the hall from me too. That was always a good time as well, but it's just interesting. And then, Kip, you were over, you did some RA action then, right? Your senior year over in, what was the dorm called? The quad?
I was an RA all 3 years I was at Wartburg.
Okay. So,
how that was hooked up was Coach Franny's wife oversaw all the resident halls. So when I was getting recruited to come to Wartburg, they were looking for ways to make it more affordable. And they're like, well, you can be an RA and get your room and board taken care of. And I was like, deal.
So, oh, that's awesome.
I went 3 years and I never once had to work a weekend in 3 years. So they'd give me like my late night. It'd be like, Kip, work this Wednesday and then you can have the weekends off. And so I was like, deal.
Dang.
And because I think was Vogel on your floor?
Yeah.
Okay. Because they had that three man down at the end of your floor, then would be our freshman year. It's still kind of the feeling out process, but when the RA brings in the 30 pack, you feel pretty good about your chances of not getting in trouble with what's going on. So,
yeah, you just got to tell the people that are working that night, be like, you know, just stay off level three tonight. I'll cover this
one. I'll cover that one. We had, was he a baseball? I forget the kid's name. We had an RA, our first floor, Clinton, was pretty good too. And I know that every once in a while he got his arm twisted into having to come down to would be Nate and Joel's spot. And every time he just came and literally just took the empties for us and left everything and told us to keep it down. So that was his way. It was definitely nice to be able to have a little bit of connections as far as things are going and people that just get it, you know, lead to back full circle to your point too. I mean, you got to have the people that can kind of understand what the goal and what the mission is, as long as you can keep it in between the rails. It usually works out pretty well. And so, well, so that's kind of a little bit of backstory of us going through, and you guys kind of touched on it, but Coach Pay, so 27 years, 401 wins at his time at Wartburg, 600 total, I believe is what it was with his time at Denver before coming. So it's almost 622, I think, total wins. Quite the career. You know, we kind of touched on a little bit of the impact going through. But overall, if you're kind of just to put your relationship and his career in a little bit of a nutshell, Kip, how would you kind of describe Coach Pate if somebody, you know, was been living under a rock or not in Iowa the last 27 years and doesn't know who he is?
For me, he's probably one of the most influential people in my life, to be honest. You know, I learned a lot from him and grew up a lot underneath the Wartburg program, not just him, but the other coaches too. Coach Franny and Coach Lau or my other coaches. The thing that always stood out to me about Coach was, like, for him, the standard was a standard, and that was we're competing for championships. And so it was pretty crystal clear, you know, what the goal was for our team, and that we weren't an eye-oriented team. We're very much a team base. And then the other thing that I always really appreciate about him, and he kind of would continue to teach you over the course of your career, was that the best teams, and this is in real world too. I mean, I use the same concepts in what I do today, is that the best teams are led by the players themselves, and the coaches can teach you the schematics. They can teach you the fundamentals, but at the end of the day, your leaders have to be the one that demand effort, intensity, and focus. That's not the coach's responsibility. And that always stood out to me about Coach, was that he always leaned on his upperclassmen to teach the younger guys the right way about going about things. And if he had an issue with you and you're an upperclassman, you dealt with it and you set the way, and you always led by example. And I always appreciate that about him.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that too. And he just kind of went through some of that. It definitely was very senior led, upperclassman led, all throughout. And at that level, it has to be, especially to be able to have success, because, you know, in those times too, the contact and the time that you have with your athletes is so much less than, you know, what it is at higher levels. And so you need to be putting time in your own and or player led practices or those pickups. You know, obviously we would play all the time, and that would be, you know, whether that was Chaz or Steggy or Jordan, you know, whoever was kind of setting the tone on when and how those were going to be played and what that was going to be played like. And without that, you know, and without that leadership from the upperclassmen, then it just wasn't going to get done. And so that is huge. And that's, like you said, that's instilled and starts from the top, starts with Coach Paith. Jordan, what about you? Kip.
Yeah. The other thing that I would add too is that, at least I don't know about you, I'd be curious to hear from you guys, but like our practices were 10 times more intense than games. So by the time we got to the game, it was like the games were almost like a day off, because we would practice so hard and go over so many of the things that have game day was just fun for us.
Jordan?
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, there's one of those things I really agree with Kip. I was going to say myself would be, he's a player's coach, meaning, you know, he's not telling you exactly what to do every time. He's not micromanaging you, but like, you need to be leaders and you need to hold each other accountable. I think that's really one of the main differences that, you know, coming from JUCO to Coach Paith, those the different coaching styles, and both were great and both worked. I actually distinctly having a meeting with him where I told him that I wish he'd yell at me more. That's just not his style. You know, cause we were really used to being held accountable, you know, at Kirkwood. And so that's what I was used to. And when I came in, I was like, you know, you can like yell at me more and you can expect more stuff from me. Like I use it as motivation. But that wasn't his style. And I appreciate it now because, you know, he's probably a little bit ahead of his time considering how you have to coach now. Just, you know, how you talk to players and relate with players and stuff like that. But the other thing I would say is his door was always open, and you could go talk to him about anything. You could go talk to him about stuff that didn't matter. But I always remember turning the corner, going through the gym, and if, you know, I needed to talk to him about anything and he was in there, like it was, you know, he was never too busy to talk. I really appreciated that. You know, whether it was about strategic stuff, you know, what we were doing in practice, how I was feeling, what I was thinking. And so I always thought that was really, you know, it was very convenient, and it was, you know, some coaches aren't that way. You know, they'll talk about it, but they'll talk about it at practice. So I appreciated that. So those are mainly the two things that stuck out to me. And he was just a really nice guy. Still, every time I see him, he's like the nicest guy ever.
How has the relationship changed since playing? Is it different now? Obviously.
No, I mean, yeah, slightly. But I mean, I was older at the time when I came. So you know, he talked to me like I was an adult then. You know, he would make jokes about it too in the huddles and stuff, like I was the elder statesman, which was fine. But you know, it's, you know, now it's, you know, how's the family and all that stuff. And, you know, I genuinely think he cares about also his former players. And I do think that for sure. So it's always good to see him when I get back to Waverly at the golf events or whatever, whatever's going on. But I, you know, not a lot has changed since I played. Talking to him is still, you know, still very easy.
It's always been impressive. He's always, whenever I talk with Coach, he always asks about my parents too. He's always like, "Hey, how are Tom and Carolyn doing?" You know, it's one of those things where, you know, he did take an interest in his players and what they were doing. And obviously when he saw you, it was always, "How's class?" Like, it always started, how was class? You know, that was always the leading question. Which, you know, at the time you were like, I mean, it's class, whatever. But thinking back now, you know, he's obviously put an emphasis on that and the importance of it, you know, and whether or not as 18, 19 year olds actually realize that or not, you know, he knew that ultimately, you know, that's why you're here, trying to get you education, get you on and be successful in life. And so that was definitely something too, that a big takeaway, and that, you know, he just understands kind of where he's at, where he was at, and what the ultimate goal was. Lee, what about you? What is kind of your lasting image and takeaway from your time with Coach Pace?
I think the one thing I still think about a lot is how he treated his assistant coaches and allowed them to do what they do best, and then he would adjust with what he needed to do to fit in with that assistant coach. And I had Coach Drake all 4 years when I was there, and Coach Drake was, you know, very intense and really focused on the defensive side. And if you know anything about Coach Pace as a player, the one thing they always talked about was how good of a defender he was. That was clearly where he felt most comfortable. But I would say from an X's and O's standpoint on the offensive side, it always felt like we were going to be in the best position, especially beginning of games, after timeouts, after halftime, we would come out. I would love to know what that success rate was offensively, because Coach Pace seemed to have the right play at the right time. And I don't know if that's necessarily his main priority in basketball. I think he would probably want to focus on the defensive end if it was completely up to him, but he always adjusted to what Coach Drake was good at, and obviously with Jason now, and let those guys go do what they do well. And I think anyone who's ever been a coach, or, you know, myself now, where I'm working with a lot of head coaches, you don't need to try to mold them into what you think is best. You need to see what they do well, allow them to flourish in that role, and then you figure out how you can support that person on the backside of it.
Well, and adding to that point, and, you know, perfect with you and your athletic director position, it comes down to hiring, man. Like, get the right people in the right places. And truthfully, as you go through and you look at the staff and the people that have worked for him, you know, in our time too with Franny and then OD and then now obviously Staggy, but even some of those guys in there, he's done a really nice job of bringing in smart basketball minds.
Well, I think he knows that one person's not going to do it, whether that's player or coach or whatever. It does take that full set of people to make it work. And if that's the case, you'd be an idiot to hire somebody that isn't good at what they do, or recruit people that aren't good at what they do. So I think he was just really good at putting the puzzle together, even if he had to change the pieces sometimes because – like I said, what somebody's strengths might be. He got it. And I think that's why he won 401 games at Wartburg. And, you know, probably didn't lose a ton.
Yeah, pretty wild. I think I had him, I did do run the numbers, 57% of his games he won as his time at Wartburg. As we mentioned, had that run there through a good part of our careers in which that he won 20 games in a 20 games a year, 5 years in a row, when you're only playing 25, you know, 26 games maybe. pretty impressive of what they were able to do. And you know, Coach Pate's just been a staple. I mean, how many? I should have looked, but I mean, how many coaches has Wartburg had over its entirety as a men's basketball program? It can't be much, because obviously Buzz was there forever too. How many years on Buzz, Lee, off the top of your head, any idea? It's got to be 20.
I was going to say it's like 30-something.
Yeah, I would have guessed in the 30s.
Yeah, that's crazy.
How many ever years he coached is probably how many conference titles he won too. I mean, that guy just never lost.
Yeah.
Crazy. Just crazy. And
I just remember coming in my first year, it was like, hey guys, we have the Buzz Levick tournament and we don't ever lose this. Like, this is a 2-0 weekend or it's a disappointment. And he's in the crowd, but also watching Buzz Levick. So I do remember that, like, very, yeah, very vividly remember him, like, just being like, we don't lose these games.
I remember just like when we would be in the gym warming up for practice or whatnot, just looking up and seeing all the banners, just rows after rows after banners. And it was like, I mean, just playing for a program with that rich a tradition, it's like, man, I got to play even harder so that I can show the respect for the guys that came before us too. That was always my mentality. It's like, I want to keep this thing going and win as many games as we can. So, you know, so we can hand the baton off to you guys.
Yeah.
So pulling this up real quick here, Buzz had 14 conference championships and making postseason tournament 13 times in his career. Pretty crazy. I don't have a year count on this quick article that I pulled up, but yeah, obviously a ton of success, and it's a program and a position in which that, you know, something to be said about longevity, loyalty, all the things that kind of go into what makes Wartburg the program that it is and it has been. Obviously Coach Pate embodied that, as did Buzz. Obviously, the reason we're talking about this is the fact that Coach Pate has stepped down and retired. So it creates a little bit of an opening. So it feels like a perfect time to end this podcast. Well, where do we go next, guys? Where does Wartburg go next to name the head coach of the Wartburg Knights? Jordan, you're giving me a look like you already know. Who's the man for the job?
I mean, I don't know who it's going to be, but I know who I want it to be, and that's...
Oh. You do?
That's Jason Stay, who obviously played with one of my favorite teammates of all time, a really good basketball player, a good friend, and he's been there, and he's loyal, and he's paid his dues. And I've wanted him to have a head job for a long time, and so I want this to be his time. I know how much it means to him, and, you know, it's... I think it would mean a lot to his parents too, who, you know, they go to all the games and support him a ton. So that's who I hope it is. Obviously I'm biased. But you know, that's who I want to see get the job.
There you go. I mean, anything more Wartburg than Jason, but it seems to make sense. Kip, what are you, I putting you on the spot, but I assume you're going to go ahead and just ride this ship with us too.
I would say the exact same thing. I mean, I think anybody that played with Jason would advocate for him. He was like the greatest teammate you could ever ask for. Not just a great basketball player, but man, he's probably one of the nicest human beings ever. I mean, he constantly is texting me throughout the year and wishing me well and checking on my family. And I try to do the same for him. Like, he is Warper. Like, he deserves a chance. He's been patient. He's paid his dues. Now I, you know, give somebody else a chance to run with it and make it his own.
I love that. He definitely, like you said, the touches, you know, the being able to be like, hey, how's this? How's that going? Happy birthday. You know, like I swear he's got to have all my kids' birthdays on his phone because he always knows. And so he's just really good at that part of it, you know, removed from all the basketball success. And so that's just another thing that definitely feels like it embodies that Wartburg mentality and seems to make sense. And Lee, you probably know him as well as anybody. I assume you're not going in a different direction on us here, huh?
You know, to me, it's not that difficult of a question. And it's just like when you talk about a basketball player and okay, this guy's this big or he shoots this well, like all those things that you can measure. Jason has those things, but he also has the intangibles. Like Kip said, he's Wartburg College. Like when you think of Wartburg College basketball, Jason is that guy to me. And not because he was really good, because he was, but he embodies every part of Wartburg basketball that we would be proud of. Like, works hard, treats people well. He truly cares about the future of Wartburg basketball. And they'll get good applicants. There's no question. They'll get a ton of applicants. Some will be terrible, and some will have really good things on paper. You know, that will won this many games or has been a head coach for this many years. I get that stuff. But I don't think there is a better fit for this position than Jason, because he embodies everything that we think is important to Wartburg basketball.
Well said.
I'd say one other thing about Jason is he's probably the biggest competitor that I've ever played with. And I'm competitive. All of us are competitive. Jason's got another gear, and it doesn't matter what you're doing. The guy, he wants to win. He's super competitive. I just want to see him get his chance to show that from a head coaching standpoint.
Yeah, I think and he has all those things, that everything that you guys had mentioned too, but he's going to still be Wartburg, but it's going to be different. Just like it was different when Paith took over, it's going to be a little different, but it's going to have those same principles, those same morals. It's just going to look a little different. And let's be honest, we're to the point too where it's time. Let's see it. You know, 27 years, DP, we appreciate it. It's been a great run. Now let's see what the next chapter looks like. Let's bring in Levick Arena. Let's bring the fans back. Let's get some excitement around the program again, program that we all love, that had a ton of fun talking back, reminiscing with you guys tonight. So I appreciate you jumping on the podcast and sharing some insight, talking some hoops as always. It was a blast, as always. Shooters shoot.